This lesson is for Sunday, September the 4th, 2022.
But I want us to look today at lesson number 10. Lesson number 10 in our series of lessons entitled, Where is Your Church Going? Today's lesson is entitled, Family Communication and Care. Family Communication and Care. You know, we are a family. We are a family. We're a church family. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. And you know what? I thank God for that. I thank the Lord for a church family. Now, our physical family is some 400 miles away. We don't get to see them very often. And, you know, we'll get to see them every now and then through a Skype or a WeChat moment or something. But you know, I thank the Lord that we've got a family that we can love and we can care for. We've got a Bible verse here from James chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. And James here wrote, he said, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. And I want to share something with you today. This deals with church family. It deals with physical family. But you know, God has given each of us a privilege to have a family. You know, if you've got a family today, you need to be thanking God for that. And if you don't have a physical family here that lives around you or anything that cares for you, you got a church family here that does. And we want you to know that. And the lesson thought today, I was thinking on this lesson when I did the lesson, but I was thinking about this one thought, you know, care for our family. Care for our family is a privilege given unto us by God, that we can care for family. My mom called me the other week, and she was all addled, and I actually had her friend that was with her, one of the ladies, to call me for her. And she said, your mom's all addled. And I said, what in the world's wrong? And she said, she can't get her debit card to work. And she said, I just spent almost $100 and I need you to pay me. And I said, you need me to pay you? Hello? Hello? And I said, what's going on? And she said, she can't get her debit card to work. And so I talked to her about it, and she said, well, I think my number is this, but I put in this, and now it won't work. And I gave my number to the lady at Walmart, and she can't get it to work. And I said, well, probably what you did, you hit it too many times, and now it's just shut you out. It's locked you down. I said, give me a chance tomorrow, and I'll call, and I'll get it taken care of. So I called, was able to get taken care of her, and I'm thinking, this other lady was wanting her money. She wanted her money. And I told her, I said, well, I called the bank, got it all taken care of, got her new number. So I called my mom, and I said, now what you need to do is go out and just use it and make sure this number works for you, and it'll be fine. And she said, okay, but my friend is here, and she really wants her money. I said, well, do this then. I said, why don't you get your friend to take you by the ATM, and you put that little card in, make sure your number works right, and then just draw out that money for her. Or even better than that, have your friend just write out a check, okay? You can write out the check for what you need and take care of that. And it seemed like a simple thing, but when you're addled and you're legally blind and you can't see to do things like that, it gets you all frustrated. And it all worked out. And I thought, well, you know, I can't be there, but you know, I want to be able to help her out. You know, we as a family, we've got big things and we have little things that go wrong sometimes trying to help out. Mrs. Zaki was asking me today if I knew of some young men that would be willing to help get some yard work done. Young men that wanted some money, right? Was that it? Yeah, some young men that wanted some money. Do I have any takers in here, all right? Yeah, okay. But she's needing some yard work done. And hey, yeah, man. If we can do that, I told her, I said, well, I'll get some guys, we'll get some help for you. We'll get over and get you some yard work done for you. So, but you know what? It's a privilege to be able to help one another. And I appreciate what you folks have done for us while we were going through this storm mess. I was trying to get some things done Friday. It was a long day and trying to get things done. And I came home and I told my wife, I said, when I get home, I'm going to change clothes and get out here and get the yard done real quick and get that finished up. And that way on Saturday I can work around the house and get the edging done and all that other stuff. Pull up some of the weeds and things we need to get done. And I got home Friday and she said, man, it looks like you already did the yard. And I said, I have not gotten started on it yet. I know it looks bad. And she said, no, it looks pretty good. And come to find out, old Bud came down, mowed my yard for me. And I thought, man, that's a blessing, amen? And, you know, I guess he felt sorry for that ugly-looking yard out there, but he came out there and mowed it up for me. But you know what? I thank God for that. And you know what? When we get to help one another, what a blessing it is to be able to help one another. And today the lesson talks about that. And I want you to look at a verse found in the book of Romans just a moment. Romans chapter 14, verse 7. Romans chapter 14, verse number 7. The Apostle Paul wrote, and he said, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. And you know, while Christianity is a personal decision that each of us make on a one-on-one basis with the Lord, we can't separate ourselves from seeing and helping others around us that have needs. And we want to be able to do that with a church family. And you know, there are questions that come up sometimes. Well, what do we do? How do we do this? Where do we get, what direction do we go with this? And you know what? I'm glad to know that God's Word has the answer. God's Word gives us the answer. And Paul dealt with these things with Timothy. And I want you to see that this morning in this lesson, okay? Family communication and care. When there is no communication, boy, there are problems, is it not? If you don't communicate, I try to call my mom now every week and talk to her. She's the only one I got left other than my brother and my sister. And I'll call them and check on them as well. But you know, communication is a big thing. It's a big thing. And I want us to look at this today. The first thing we're looking at today in the lesson, we're going to be here in 1 Timothy chapter number 4. But the communication within the family. I want you to look at this. Addressing problems. Addressing problems. Anybody ever had a problem in your family with communication? Okay. Yep. You say one thing, your wife hears another thing, and there's a third thing that actually gets done. Okay. Yeah, anything. All kinds of problems. Situations. The first thing you got to do is address the problem. We have to address the problem. We have to recognize, number one, there is a problem. I can always tell if my wife has a problem. Her walk is different. Her look is definitely different, okay? All right? And her lack of verbalization is the ultimate, okay? All right? You can tell. You can tell when things are wrong. So you better learn how to recognize those things and address the problem. All right? Now, as you're well aware, problems do occur within a family. That's within physical families and especially in even church families. It happens. If you'll remember in one of our previous lessons, we saw how that the early church of believers there in Jerusalem, they ran into some problems with their widows. You remember that? Acts chapter number 6. I want you to look there just a moment. In Acts chapter 6, verse 1, the Bible said, and in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. There was a problem. The Grecians didn't feel like the Hebrews were taking care of them. And you got to remember, folks, when God saves us, He puts us all into one family. The Jews and the Gentiles did not get along. But when they got saved and they began going to church together, okay, and they came together to serve the Lord, there were still some problems there that they had to overcome. And so the Greeks thought, well, the Hebrews are not taking care of us. They're just looking after themselves. The Jews are just looking after themselves. So they addressed the problem. And thank God for some godly leaders that spoke up and said, hey, you know what? We know what to do here. And the Bible talks about it there in verse number 5 of Acts chapter 6. The leaders of that church said, hey, we're going to take care of this. And when they told the people what they were going to do, the Bible said the saying pleased the whole multitude. And because that whole group sought the wisdom of God in addressing this problem, the Bible said in chapter 6, verse 8, or verse 7 of Acts, because of what they did, the word of God increased. What happens when there are problems? Folks get mad at one another. Folks get mad at God. Folks quit doing what they ought to be doing for God. And guess what? The word of God, spreading the gospel, decreases. It stops. It's hindered because of problems. But because they did this right, the Bible said the word of God increased and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great number of the priests were obedient to the faith. So here now, going back over to 1 Timothy chapter 5, Paul is trying to encourage Timothy about problems that will come up in the church. And he's trying to help them, number one, with communication within the family of God. How do we communicate one with another? How do we treat one another? How do we handle little incidences that are not big, but they can become big if we don't address them? Well, let's look at it here this morning. He said, first of all, within this, he had to address the problems. He said, verses 1 and 2, he said, rebuke not an elder. Now, that elder is one that is older, okay? It's not just speaking of a leader in the church, but it is referring to that, but somebody that may be older. But entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity. Now, let's look at it here just a minute. They needed to practice communication. Practice communication. What is practice? What is the purpose of practice? The practice is to help you get the goal that you've got for doing something right. The goal is to get it right and to do it well. And within these two verses, Paul gave Timothy, as well as you and I today, the New Testament church, he gave instructions, and he gives here four specific guidelines to use. These are principles that we can use in communicating with the church family. And I want you to look at these today because they're important. There are two special words here in these verses I want you to take note of. They are total opposites. They are polar opposites. One is the word rebuke. Look at it, the word rebuke. And that word rebuke means to reprimand, to criticize sharply, to get on to somebody. That's what it means, to rebuke them. The other word there is entreat. Entreat. And that means that you earnestly plead with someone about something, especially in order to persuade them to do something, to see something a certain way. And those two words, by definition, are just polar opposites, right? You understand that. But Paul uses those two words to help give instructions here to Timothy. And I want you to see that this morning, all right? Number one, he deals with communications with the older men. With the older men. Paul instructs Timothy here in verse number 1. He said, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father. In other words, they were to treat the older men with respect and honor. Instead of just going up to them and land blasting them and just criticizing them and saying, well, you old fuddy-duddy, you don't even know what my life's about and all that stuff. You ever heard things like that? They talk about a generation gap, okay? Generation gap. Listen, generation gap has been going on for years, okay? And it's just sad. But what needs to happen is we need to show respect when dealing with those that are older, okay? So, Brother Don, when you deal with Brother Tom, you treat him with respect. You treat him with honor, okay? All right? You know, it works that way, right? We treat each other. I kid about that, but listen, you want to treat them as God would have you treat them. Treat them as you would your father. Number two, he deals with communications with the younger men. The younger men. Now, you older ones, you need to learn how to treat us younger ones, okay? All right? All right? All right? It's the same way, with respect. But what he's saying here, when they're communicating with younger men within the body of Christ, he was to treat them as God would have him treat his own brothers. Do you remember the story of Joseph? You remember the story of Joseph? When Joseph's father died, okay, the brothers thought, man, he's going to get us now. He's going to treat us. He's been treating us like kings because dad's alive. But now that dad is dead, we're going to be in trouble. But you know what? Joseph treated his brothers the way that God would have him treat them. With love. With compassion. And that's the way we need to treat our brothers that are younger than us in the Lord. We treat them like we would our own brother. We love them. And we try to deal with them as a younger brother. The third thing he deals with is with the older women. Now, I'm not going to point any of those out today. I would never do that. Okay? It's not a wise thing. Okay? Amen. The ones that speak out will be the ones that will tell you about that. Okay? All right? But look what he said in verse 2. He said, you treat the elder women as mothers. You got to love them. You're to love them as you would your mother. You're to treat them with respect and honor. Now, he spoke these words to Timothy because this was something special to Timothy. It was Timothy's mother and grandmother that taught him the Word of God, that loved them, that cared for them. I was thinking about Kathy Reed this morning. She was telling me her grandchildren come over the house sometimes, and she's always teaching them about cooking. And they make some good cookies. They make some good puddings and all kinds of cakes and things. And, man, I appreciate you teaching them to do that. Especially when you bring it on Thursday night for soul winning dinner. Amen. It's really good. It's really good. But you know what? Those girls, they have something to be thankful for. Because they got somebody that loved them and told them about Jesus and honors them with the Lord. And you know what? That's the way we are to teach our younger ones to treat the older women in our church, the elderly women, those that have been faithful through the years, those that have been guiding others for so many years through life. You know, there's nothing like a mother's touch on things. It may not help when a mother kisses a wound, but it makes you feel better about it, doesn't it? And I remember my grandmother, I'd get stung by a bee, and she'd come over there and she'd say, honey, give me your hand. And she'd go like this, and she'd spit snuff on my hand. She spit snuff. She chewed snuff. And I'd say, Nanny, why in the world do you chew that stuff? She said, honey, it's too good to burn. And she would chew that snuff, and she'd just hock one up and spit it right on, then rub it in. And you know, that tobacco juice would pull out. It would pull that stinger right out of your hand. Pull it right out. It didn't look real great, didn't smell real great, but it took it right out. But you know what? She would always take care of us. Now, she was not my biological grandmother. You know, when we were adopted, she became my grandmother. She said, I'm going to love you just like I would love any of these other children. And I'm thankful for that. And I always love to be with her about that. But you know what? We're to love the elderly women as mothers. And then look what he said here about communication with the younger women. Paul said, now, Timothy, you guard your testimony. You keep your integrity. But you treat those younger women as sisters and with all purity. With all purity. What does that mean? That means that if somebody tries to hurt your sister, you're always there to protect them. Now, it's all right if you and your brothers and sisters, they fight against one another, okay? That's a common thing, okay? Brothers and sisters always fighting and carrying on. But you know what, buddy? When one of them gets in trouble, the other defends them. And they were to defend those younger ones. They were to treat them, protect them, look over them, even as he would his own sister. But when doing it, he was to guard his testimony so that nobody could come back and say, hey, you're doing something bad. It would dishonor the Lord. It would dishonor the church. It would dishonor his testimony, her testimony. And you wanted to keep it clean. So proper communication within the family of God is very important. And that's what Paul was trying to make him to understand. There's a way and there's a manner in which to communicate that is very vital in a church's testimony, especially with the pastor being a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. He has to be careful with those things. But not only was there instruction given on communication within the family, but also regarding the ministry to widows. The ministry to widows. Now, within our own church, we have many widows. I carry a list here in my file cabinet, and I've got it right here. I really do. Let me just pull it out here, okay? I do have it. Right there it is, okay? But it's kind of worn, but I've got you ladies that are widows. There's 18 of you, and I pray for you. I keep it in my pocket here. That way I can say I keep it close to my heart, okay? All right. But I keep it in there, and I've got a list of all these dear ladies. And I want you to know, listen, when there are needs, we want to be able to help you. We want to be able to help. Listen, when Ms. Zaki came to me this morning, I want to be able to help her. You know, if we've got something that we can do to try to help, we want to be able to do that. I thank God for you widows. She makes candy. And this may be an incentive. You don't need the extra money. She will load you with chocolate candy, okay? The peanut butter, the chocolate-covered peanut turtles are really good, okay? Let me tell you. I remember we went over one day to help with her video security thing. And we went over there, and she loaded us up. And she said, now, your wife can't eat these, can she? I said, no, but I can. It's not a problem. I'll tell her how good they were, amen? And you know, I love that. But you know what? We also have widows in here that help us. That many of them, you don't realize what all they do for our church. I think about Connie and her mom, Miss Mary. And I'm not saying this to embarrass you or anything. But if you get gospel tracts out of our rack out here, some of you may have noticed there's a black line going across our gospel tracts. Did you notice that? That didn't come from the printer. It came from these two ladies. Because when we started coming back to church, we were not able to have the 8:30 service. And when we'd give out gospel tracts, folks would say, oh, you got a service at 8:30. No, we don't have one yet like that. We haven't started that back yet. And I thought, man, I need to start marketing these out. So I went through and started marking them out. Well, I don't have a lot of time to be able to do some of that. And so I thought, you know what? I'm going to ask. Just ask. You know, they'd come to me one day and said, we just need some things that we'd like to be able to do. And man, they have helped us with Spanish tracks, fixing up the new schedule for the Spanish tracks. They've helped us with other things. Listen, we got ladies in here that are with us that are going through the Soul Winners training program to learn how to win people to Christ so they can teach others. And you know what? We've got a great ministry here with this. But there needs to be communication. And I appreciate what they do. She brought me in some more that we're doing for the food distribution. They were putting some things together. But I say that for this purpose. There's a ministry. If there is something that can be done, God gives us people that are willing to do it. And listen, we want to be a help to you even as you're a help to us. Now look what the Bible said here. We remember back in Acts chapter 6, some of the widows may have felt like they weren't being taken care of. And you know what? They were right. There were some things that weren't being done right. And within a church, We don't get everything right, but we try to get it right when we know that it's wrong. And here, Paul says to Timothy, he said, care needs to be an imperative. Look what he said in verse number 3. Honor widows that are widows indeed. All throughout the scripture, it's clear to see how that God desires for his people to take care of those that are in need. Now, back in the Old Testament, as early as I went back and I looked up, I just typed in words that I was trying to figure out with this, and I went all the way back to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 23, where God commanded his people, he said, and 6 years thou shalt sow thy land, and shalt gather in the fruits thereof. But the seventh year thou shalt let it rest and lie still, that the poor of thy people may eat, and what they leave the beasts of the field shall eat. In like manner thou shalt deal with thy vineyard and with thy olive yard. Over in chapter 30, he said this, when thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then thou shalt give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord when thou numberest them, that there be no plague among them when thou numberest them. This shall they give, every one that passeth among them that are numbered, half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary, a shekel being 20 gerahs, and half shekel shall be the offering unto the Lord. Everyone that passeth among them shall be numbered from 20 years old and above, and they shall give an offering unto the Lord. The rich shall give no more, and the poor shall give no less than half a shekel when they give an offering unto the Lord to make an atonement for your souls. Now I read that to you, and I tell you that because in God's eyes, every man's atonement price was the same. You know what that tells me? The ground at the cross is level. It's the same for every person. God's desire is to take care of the need of every person, whether they were rich, whether they were poor. You remember in Jesus' day when that poor widow woman, he took note of her, she gave two mites. And a lot of the people were coming in there and doing all kinds of things and giving all kinds of money and making a big show for themselves, okay? And Jesus said, man, this poor widow had given more than all these other folks because she gave of her heart. She gave it of her heart. And you know what? I thank God for that. Now, what he's saying here is, our lesson theme verse was, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. And that's why we take care of one another. Listen, we want to make sure that people are taken care of. Care was imperative. And then he gives instructions here. Look what he said. He said, honor the widows that are widows indeed. There were some that were widows, and they went out and did things that just weren't right. And then others that really didn't have anybody else to take care of them. You know, the thing about it today, in our day, we have things like insurance policies, okay? I've tried to make sure, ever since before I got married, I had an insurance policy on myself, so if I died, it would not be a burden to my parents to bury me, okay? So I had an insurance policy for myself. When I got married, I took one on my wife, and she had one for me, so in case anything ever happened to me, she wouldn't have to worry about it. And when we got married and more established, I put one on her so that if anything ever happened to her, it wouldn't be so hard on me. But we've kept insurance like that. But folks, they didn't have things like that in Paul's day. They didn't have things like that. And if there was not a husband or a kinsman that could help the widows and things like that, man, they were just in trouble. They were in trouble. And so Paul instructed Timothy. He said, listen, if they're widows indeed, the church needs to help them. They need to help them to take care of their needs. And then he gives the instructions for it. Look at it, verses 4 through 8. He said, but if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and requite their parents. For that is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God. and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And these things give in charge that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he had denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Now I want you to look at this, what Paul is telling. And first of all, Paul gives instructions, specific instructions, to families here in verse number 4. Now look what he said. If any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. What happens here is people weren't taking care of their own family. I've seen that happen in many situations. People don't care for their family. Now, today, with all the nursing homes and things like that, many family members will come back and say, well, I'm just going to put them in the nursing and never go see them, never love on them, never do anything. And sometimes I understand, you know, they need care that you cannot give. But don't forget about them. Good night. Love them. Care for them. Let them know that you care. The children were to take note of God's desire for them to honor their parents and to provide for them even as their parents had provided for them when they were children. All right? They were to provide for them. Sadly, that's not what we see in our world today. We just don't see that. And you know, God here has Paul to remind Timothy that first of all, it's the parents' the family's responsibility to love and to care for their parents. I remember when my dad, we found out that his wife had cancer. And I had them come up, and they stayed up here with us for a while. And we took them up and took them around to Gettysburg and showed them all these places and just had some good time with them. And it was just a few months later that she died. And you know what? We tried to love them. We tried to honor them. And when I spoke at the funeral service, we tried to honor that love that they had shown unto us. Well, my dad got cancer, and he was lying sick. You remember, I made several trips down to North Carolina and went down trying to help take care of things and make sure that he was taken care of. Man, we had to deal with all kinds of things, what to do, you know, with his situation because he wasn't able to swallow. He wasn't able to do things, and we had to get him care for that. And we had to make some decisions, you know, about how to care for him. And we did that, and we did that joyfully. But you know what? It was our responsibility to do that as family. It was our responsibility. And you know what? Listen, he said here in verse number 8, he said, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he had denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. In other words, that's a bad testimony, folks. If we're not willing to love and to care and to make arrangements and do things for our parents and people that have the need, we're a bad testimony. I remember a verse over in the book of Exodus again where God said in Exodus chapter 20, verse number 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And in Mark chapter 10, Jesus said this to a young ruler. The Bible said that young ruler came to Jesus and he asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest me thou good, or thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and thy mother. Isn't it interesting that Jesus reminded this young man he needed to honor his father and his mother? And folks, that's what we need to do. A family's actions either show love and respect for their parents or they show a lack of respect, and it shouldn't be that way. Look at verse 4. It pleases God when we lovingly choose to assist our parents. Look what he said. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents. For that is good and acceptable unto God. And those actions show great love and respect for God, for His Word, as well as their parents. I've watched many of you deal with parents and watch over them and care for them. I remember when Miss Diane, she's sitting at the back there, when Brother Paul was sick. And Diane has been having to run that business back there. And they got a wild and crazy business to take care of, especially after this COVID mess. But yeah, every day, she was up there to take care of her dad, watch over. Some member of the family was there. And you know what? Many of you have done the same thing. I watch how many of you have cared for husbands and dealt with them and loved them all the way up until the time that the Lord took them home. You loved and cared for them. And you know what? Family was there to encourage and strengthen you. Listen, that's a great thing. But number two, he gives specific instructions for the church when there is no family. Look what he said, verses 4 through 7. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them first learn, show piety at home. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth, and these things give in charge that they may be blameless. In other words, when a widow belonging to a church did not have a family to help care for her and take care of her needs, that church had to consider how they could try to help that widow who was indeed a widow. And he lists some things here to clarify it. Look at what he said. He said she is desolate. In other words, having no means of support, no help from her family, nobody there to help her, nobody to help her. She's a born-again believer who's known to have trusted in God. Look at what it said. She trusted in God. And she was not only a believer, but she was a godly believer because she had continued in supplications and prayers and for others night and day. And you know what? Paul was identifying these folks that had been a blessing to them. And he's saying, now you need to try to be a help to them. You need to be a help to them. Sometimes I feel like, and I'll just be honest with you, sometimes I feel like we fail in this area so many times with some of our widows. And I feel like we fail. I feel like I fail. Many times I felt like I failed. And listen, we want to be a help to you. We want to be an encouragement. We want to be a strength to you if we can be a help to you. But Paul's reminding Timothy, he said, you need to give charge of these things that they may be blameless. And then he talks about ministry by the older women. Look at this in the next few verses 9 and 10. Evidently, within that church in Ephesus, there was a group of the older widows whom God used to minister in specific ways within the church family in honor of the church, helping provide for their physical need. Now look what the Bible said, verses 9 and 10. Let not a widow be taken in the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. These dear ladies would be able to serve in their group, okay? But they listed several qualifications for these ladies. And when I say this today, I don't want to get anybody offended, okay? All right, don't think that I'm calling you an old widow woman, okay, when I say this, okay? But the problem was, in Paul's day, there were many that had lost husbands and they were younger. And back then, many of the men and women did not live long times. It was a hard life. It was a rough life. And some of these folks didn't live to be very long. And the men especially that worked in the fields and did all the things, there were accidents that happened, things happened. And the women lost their husbands. And some of the younger women, okay, were just sitting back now and saying, hey, we're just going to let everybody take care of us. We're not going to do anything. And that was what Paul was preaching against here. So the Spirit of God had him say, listen, they needed to be at least 60 years of age. 60. To them, that was an old older woman. Today, that's not such an old age, okay? Now that I've reached that, and my dear wife has accomplished that goal, okay? That's not an old age. It's really not. And you know what? When Paul was writing these things, he said, listen, they need to have a good testimony. They need to have a good testimony about them, that they love that husband. They love that husband. They've done things for other people. Now look at some of you ladies in here today, and the ladies are on our list of widows. You folks have been a blessing to this church. You have been a blessing. I think so many times I look at many of these dear ladies, and they've helped out others. They've come in and cooked meals. I think about Mrs. Dale. Mrs. Dale over in the Super 60s group. Every time they have a Super 60s gathering over here and they do the mail outs and they do other things, that woman cooks a meal. I mean, she cooks a big meal. And she'll always come in here and she'll say, Pastor Ray, now would you like to have a ham sandwich? And I've got tomatoes. Oh, they're just so good. And I eat them whether I'm hungry or not. She just makes it sound so good. You know, she's just a blessing. And she'll come in there and she said, I'll make some for your wife as well. And I said, make her two. And that way, if she doesn't want to, I'll eat the other one too, okay? And I just love her for it. But you know what? These dear ladies help out. They minister within the church family. And they're a blessing. And then he gave the instruction for those younger widows. Listen to what he said in verses 11 through 15. I got to hurry. But the younger widows refuse. For when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they'll marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. And withal, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house. And not only idle, but tattlers also and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some are already turned aside after Satan. For those younger widows, perhaps even with younger children, God knew the heartache of losing a spouse. He knew what it was like. And you know what? He encouraged these dear women. Listen, don't forget. Don't forget. God can still use you. God can bless you. And if you're young enough and you want to marry a godly man, it's okay to remarry him, to bear those children, to have some. Listen, you remember the story of Ruth, okay? And Ruth came. She lost her husband. And man, she continued on for a while without a husband, and then God brought a kinsman redeemer to take care of her. And that's exactly what God did. He warned them against becoming idle talebearers and just busybodies in everybody else's business and doing things that they ought not do. He condemned that and said, listen, that's not a good testimony for you. You need to make sure that you don't turn aside after Satan. Some had already done that. Some had already become wanton in living for the Lord. They just turned away from God, and now they were just busybodies. And Paul said, listen, that's not the way it ought to be. Look what he said in verse 16. He gave general instruction for all believers. He said, if any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them. Let not the church be charged that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. God said, listen, it's every believer's responsibility to love those, to help those who are in need. And folks, that's what we do. Why? Because we're a family. That's what we're to do. We're to help one another. Ladies, those of you that are widows, if you have a need, let us know. Let us be a help to you. Listen, if there's something that you want to do for Christ, you let us know. We got plenty of things that need to be done. And you can be a blessing to others in doing some of those things as well. Let's make sure we do it right. All right, Father, I love you today. And I pray, Lord, that this lesson will be a help and a strength to our people. Lord, encourage our folks today. Lord, to love one another, to let folks know that, listen, if there's a need, we're there to help them. I thank you, God, for how you've blessed this class with folks that love one another. And I pray, God, today that you'll help us to continue to do that, to put forth that love, all because of what you have done for us. And Father, we'll thank you for it. For it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. I love you today. Thank you for getting to be here in church.